All right, let's look together at Psalm number 1 this morning. This is where we will receive our help, Psalm number 1. And if you're physically able, would you mind standing out of respect for God's Word as we look together at Psalm number 1, beginning in verse 1, and we'll read the entire psalm. Psalm number 1, verse number 1. I'll read it out loud. If you'll just follow along silently. If you don't have a Bible and you can look on with someone that's near you, that's great. If not, I'll do my best to read it as clearly as possible. Here we go. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." Now look at verse number 6 especially. "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Now, if you don't mind, I'll ask God to help me, and then you can be seated. Lord, please do help this morning in our time together in Sunday school. Holy Spirit of God, I know that I'm not capable of convincing anyone of anything, but I know that you were sent to do just that. And so I ask, please, by the power of your word and your working, would you please convince folks of what your word says? Help me to say everything I should, say nothing I should not, and we rest in you. I trust you, please. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask. Amen. Thank you for standing. Please be seated. Well, do you know what the common desire of all mankind is? You know what it is? There's a number of things you might think of, but everything kind of links back. If you were to ask any person, ask them, what is it that you really want? What is it you really seek after? And you were to get past some of the frivolous first things, the root of every person's, regardless of how old or how young, regardless of bank account, regardless of nationality, regardless of anything, everybody is always looking for one major theme, and that is this: happiness. Everybody wants to be happy. In fact, let's take a poll this morning. How many of you want to be happy? May I see your hands? Okay, good. That's most of us, and the rest of us, we're asleep still. So we'll do our best to wake you up. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody seeks for happiness. Now, people seek for it in different ways, don't they? I mean, you could get advice from people on how to be happy, and everyone's willing to give advice. In fact, you watch television, and you watch commercials, and commercials are all about how to be happy. They show you what will really make you happy in your life. You know, like toothpaste that makes your teeth white. If you had white teeth, you'd really be happy. That's what they're saying to you. You need this toothpaste because if you brush with it 3 times a day and you never eat anything that'll turn your teeth dark, then you'll have white teeth and you'll be happy. You'll be truly happy. Or pizza. You know, you have advertisements for pizza. Hey, you're hungry? You want to be happy? Eat the pizza. In fact, have 2 of them. They're really good. And everybody has their ideas of how to be happy. On a more serious note, honestly, everybody seeks for happiness, and sometimes people seek for it in a dangerous way. There are people who go after drugs or alcohol in order to try to fill up their life with some kind of happiness. Some people work for money in order to be happy. In fact, some people will hold off on all the things that they think might make them happy now in order to make money so that one day they'll be able to retire, do everything they've always wanted to do in order to be happy. So some people say this. Some people say, hey, you do everything you can to get happy now. That's the drugs, alcohol, get in debt, spend what you can, get a big house, buy a nice car, keep up with the Joneses, do everything you can right now to be happy. Some people say, no, 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 wait, hold off, work hard so that someday you can be happy. But everybody seeks after happiness. And let me ask you a question. Will drugs or alcohol or a big house or a good budget or a nice car, will that honestly make you happy? Let me qualify. The kind of happiness that lasts, or does it eventually run out? Sure. I mean, anybody who's watched any amount of news, you see all the time millionaires and billionaires who are just miserable People who have everything that money can afford who are miserable because they don't have true happiness. And then there's people who wait and save and save and save so that someday they can retire and do everything they want to do. You know, they've always wanted to travel. So they buy a fifth wheel travel trailer and they do that so that they can be happy. Friend, I spend 8 months out of the year in a fifth wheel travel trailer. If you want happiness, don't buy a trailer. If you've never been in one or owned one, the way to be real happy with a fifth wheel travel trailer is not to have one. That's the way it is. It's a constant pain. But people think to themselves, I'll save up so that someday I can be happy. But let me ask you this. Have you ever met someone who's retired and they have money and they get to do everything they want and they're cranky? You ever met anybody like that? Brittany and I, in our traveling, in our travel trailer, we stay in trailer parks every now and then, pull into some campgrounds, and we're usually the youngest person there. In fact, it's humorous. We pull a 39-foot travel trailer, and we'll pull in, and we'll back our trailer into the spot, or pull it into our spot, and we'll get out, and all the people around look. As soon as Seth jumps out of the trailer, man, it's just like grandparents everywhere. You know, they kind of look and see what's going on. And we have found in these trailer parks where these folks, I mean, they have what they want. They have a trailer. They're traveling to all these places they want to go. And still sometimes they're cranky people. Why is that? Well, the reason is because things don't make you happy. The happiness that things bring cannot last forever, can they? Pastor Shetler and I were talking before the Sunday school hour about losing weight. We're talking about how we want to. Yes, we do. In fact, I a year and a half ago, I decided I was gonna do what I could to lose some weight, and so I started this program, this exercise and eating program, and all of it was gonna go real well. The one problem is the one thing that you weren't supposed to eat while you're on this program is ice cream, which is just despicable that you can't eat ice cream. I love ice cream. Especially, I like mint chocolate chip ice cream. And so we usually have mint chocolate chip ice cream in our freezer. And let's say, just for sake of this illustration, that I'm deciding I'm going to lose some weight. And so I'm going to stop eating ice cream, stop eating the things that I'm not supposed to, start eating the good things. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to do it. And for 3 weeks, I do. Don't touch ice cream. In fact, when I started it, I had a half gallon of mint chocolate chip in the freezer. And for 2.5 weeks, I don't touch it. Oh, I'm so proud of myself. For 2.5 weeks, and then one night about 9:30, I have an attack. Saying a heart attack? No, I have an ice cream attack. Now, Seth is already in bed. Brittany's up in our room, in our bed, and she's reading or something like that. And I'm sitting down in the living room, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? There's still that half a gallon of mint chocolate chip ice cream in the freezer. So you kind of look both ways and walk over to the freezer, and everything's louder in a trailer. You got to be real careful to be real quiet. And I know what Brittany would say if she heard me getting the ice cream out of the freezer. So real carefully, you open the freezer, and you take out the half gallon. Close the freezer back, and I open up the top, and I go to the cupboard and grab out a bowl. I look at the half gallon, put the bowl back, and just reach in and get a spoon. And I close the door ever so carefully. And then you open up the refrigerator door, and there's some chocolate sauce in there, you know, and you take it out and shake it, make sure it gets down there, and you squeeze until it starts going, do-do-do-do-do, then you stop because you don't want to make that much noise. And grab a handful of peanuts and throw it on top, and then I sit down on the couch, and I eat the entire half gallon of mint chocolate chip ice cream. Now, let me ask you a question that you're allowed to answer out loud. While I'm eating the half gallon of mint chocolate chip ice cream with chocolate sauce and peanuts, am I happy? Oh, yes, I'm happy. Gloriously happy. I mean, this is great. Now, 15 minutes after I finish the ice cream, am I happy? Oh, you guys have done this too, huh? Yeah. 15 minutes afterwards, I'm thinking to myself, Thompson, that's what I call me. I'm good friends with myself. Thompson, what are you thinking? Why are you doing that? Why you have to run like extra miles in order to work this off. Why did you eat the ice cream? Oh, what I was seeking after was happiness and had it for a moment, but then it goes away. Why is that? Well, because the thing, now please hear this, the things of this world, the stuff that we can touch, the tangible things of this world cannot, they will not ever bring happiness that lasts. But God tells us in Psalm number 1 that there is a way to find true happiness. In fact, that's the subject of the psalm. The very first word of Psalm number 1 is the word blessed. And the word blessed means literally a sigh of happiness. It's more than just a fleeting moment. It's kind of like when you get done with a major project or something you've been working on, and you think about the project and you give a... It's that kind of happiness. The kind of happiness that lasts. And the Bible here says, blessed is the man. So that there is a way to find happiness, and God tells us how to get it. Now, I want you to notice to start off, verse number 6 of Psalm number 1, where the Bible says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Now, friend, here's what this teaches us. When you read that, here's what you know. You know that God will see to it that the righteous people, which we'll read about in Psalm number 1, the people who live His way can be guaranteed by Him of happiness. Now everybody in this world will try to guarantee you, here's how to be happy, and they'll give you their ideas, but it does not last. But here God says, I can see to it. I will guarantee, I know the way of the righteous, and I will see to it, He implies, that they will be blessed. So that there is a God-given way to have happiness, to have honest-to-goodness, true happiness in your life. And it is a good way. So let's look together at Psalm number 1 and see several things that I think will be a help to us this morning, and especially in relation to this week. All right? Psalm number 1, verse number 1. Blessed is the man. So happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now stop just for a second. Look up here real quick, if you will. First thing we see here in Psalm 1, verse 1 is this. If you want true happiness, there are certain things that you're going to have to reject. There are certain ways of thinking you'll have to reject. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Let me ask you. Now, maybe it's not this way in California. In Tennessee, it is. Do you have any ungodly people in the state of California? Oh, you do? You do? Good. We do, too, in Tennessee. I just wanted to make sure you had them here. Let me ask you this. In the state of California, or perhaps even in Santa Maria, do you guys have ungodly people that try to push their views on other people? Are there people like that? Okay, good. So it's like Tennessee. I'm just wanting to make sure we're in the same boat. Yeah. See, everywhere you go, anywhere you go, there are ungodly people. People who reject everything that is right, everything that is righteous, everything that is biblical, and they have ideas that they want to pass on to you that they'd like to shove down your throat if they could. In fact, they try on a regular basis to do it through a number of different avenues. We'll not take time this morning, just for sake of time, to deal with it. But the Bible says, look, if you want to be blessed, if you want God's guarantee of a happy life, a happy marriage, a happy home, a happy existence, then you're going to have to reject ungodly counsel, or literally the counsel of the ungodly. So the deal is, don't listen to ungodly people about how to find happiness. If someone comes to you with an idea and says, hey, here's how to be happy, but they're not a godly person, then you can know right out of the box you reject their counsel. So if you want to be happy, don't go where the blessed man doesn't go. Don't go to ungodly people for counsel. The Bible says don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't be involved in ungodliness, and wickedness, and unrighteousness. Things that are against the Bible, against God's Word. So don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. This literally has the idea of the word scornful means to make a mouth. How many of you in grade school knew... You had a kid in your class that was a mocker. He made fun. Usually it goes like this. Usually the teacher says something to one kid. Hey, that's enough. You need to be quiet. Johnny, that's enough. Be quiet. And then the teacher turns around to write something on the board. And Johnny turns around to everybody and goes, something like that. Do you guys have anybody like that in your class? Okay, you did. Yeah, I think all of us did. How many of you were that person? No, don't raise your hand. I don't want to know. Yeah, all of us have people like that in our class. If you're a teacher, you know, you can feel it. There's something about teachers, they just know. They just know that there's a kid doing that, and sometimes they'll turn back around. But the scorner is the person who makes the mouth. They get in trouble, and the teacher turns around, and they turn around to all the kids, and they make a mouth. They mock or make fun of in order to get everybody on their side. And you can't help sometimes but laugh at the kid who does something like that because it's funny. And so you're laughing at the person. You're laughing with the person at the teacher, and that is a scorner. It's a person who tries to involve other people in the wickedness that they're involved in. So the Bible says, if you want to be happy, don't listen to ungodly people, don't do ungodly things, and surely don't encourage everybody else to do the ungodliness that you're a part of. Hey, you do know, don't you, that every person has a sphere of influence? You, in your life, have people that you influence. You may not always know who it is, but you do influence people. That's why it's so important that we live a life that is pleasing to God and that walks in the way of happiness so that the people that we influence will follow us. Hey, moms and dads, let me tell you, you have more influence on your children than you know. You may think you have a lot, but you have more of it than you know. It is important that we lead in a right way. I told you, Seth is 3 years old. When he became a part of our life, I will tell you, all of a sudden, I started doing some soul searching about the things that I do, what I watch, where I go, the way I talk, because all of a sudden I had a realization, oh, I got somebody that's going to watch me growing up, and I want to make sure I'm leading them in the right way. Man, what an influence you have. Hey, in your leading, don't lead in the way of a scorner. Don't try to encourage people into wickedness. No. Not if you want happiness. So the happy person, the blessed person, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, doesn't listen to ungodly counsel. But the Bible says in verse number 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Okay, so the blessed man rejects ungodly counsel, but instead the Bible says he delights in, he enjoys, he likes, he loves the law of the Lord. Now, the word delight here, his delight is in the law of the Lord, means to lean toward or have an enjoyment for. Pastor Shetler mentioned that we work at a ministry called the Bill Rice Ranch. At the Bill Rice Ranch, we have any given week of the summer, anywhere from 400 to 500 young people who will come and spend a week from all over the U.S. We have groups that have traveled on a church bus from California all the way to Murfreesboro, Tennessee, in order to come to the Bill Rice Ranch. We have groups from northern Michigan, southern Florida, all over the place that come to Tennessee, and we have a great week. And at the ranch, we have rules about guys and girls and touching and things like that. If you're not related, if you're a guy and girl and you're not related, you're not supposed to touch. And what we do is we put some of our staff members in strategic places, like in bushes with shotguns, and if guys and girls touch, we just shoot them. And that takes, just joking, not really. It's rifles, not shotguns. And we have rules about things like that. But it's always amazing to me how guys and girls can meet and fall desperately in love like within 45 minutes of coming on camp. So here's a guy from northern Michigan and a girl from southern Florida. They come to the Bill Rice Ranch, a great place to come. And within 45 minutes, they found each other and they're desperately, it's the one their soul has always longed for. They're 14 years old, you know, and they found one, finally the one that they've been looking for their entire life. And they come, and we have rules, so they're not going to touch or anything like that. But what happens is after the services in the evening, we have a place called the Rec Center. And there's a basketball court, and there's bleachers set up. And most everybody goes down to the Rec Center, and right behind Rec Center is Cowboy Town, where you can buy ice cream and all kinds of great stuff, and soft pretzels and pop. And most people sit on the bleachers and talk, or else be playing basketball, or be up at Cowboy Town getting something to eat. And again, the rule is guys and girls can't touch. But here's a guy and a girl, 14 years old, and they're sitting beside each other, and they lean towards each other. And they're not allowed to touch, but there's something about the knee and the shoulder. They get as close as they possibly can, and they're sitting there. It's not like a conversation. It's not like they're talking a lot. They just lean towards each other. In my mind, I'm thinking to myself, you know, just turn and talk to the person. You don't have a conversation. You're like, hey, what's your last name? Something like that, where you actually get to know the person a little bit. But it's not the way that it works. They're sitting beside each other. They're leaning towards each other. And they delight in one another. Perhaps you've seen it with a newly married couple. They come to church and they sit in church and they're sitting as close. In fact, if you walk in the back door, it looks like a two-headed monster. One body, two heads coming out because they're sitting so close to each other. And that's oftentimes the idea that we get when we think of delight or leaning. The Bible here says the blessed man, God says, the person who's going to be happy is the person who rejects ungodly counsel and instead they delight in, they lean towards, they love, they have an enjoyment for God's Word, the law of the Lord. And the Bible says, in this law do they meditate, they think on it day and night. It's always in the forefront of their mind. Let me stop here and say this. Oftentimes, people think to themselves, look, okay, if I'm going to be godly, it's going to be tough. It's going to be miserable, but it's worth it. It's worth it to follow the Bible. It's hard, but it's worth it. Now, it'd be so much better to be able to be ungodly. Because if I were wicked, if I did everything I wanted to, then I could really be happy. But no. I'll follow the Bible. I'll follow the Bible because it's worth it. Hey, the Bible in Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man. Delight in God's word. The end of verse 3 says, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So that, look, don't come into a church service. Don't come into a time where the Bible is going to be preached about your marriage or your family, thinking to yourself, well, it's going to be hard and it's going to be miserable, but it'll be worth it. No, see, it's blessed. There's delight. It's prosperous. It's good. That is one of the reasons why I'd really like to, again, encourage you about coming, regardless of where you are in your marriage or in your family, childbearing, whatever age you are, come to every service that you possibly can. Why? Because don't you want to be happy? Well, we're going to tell you the Bible way to get there. We're going to tell you how you can have a happy family, how you can have a happy marriage, how you can enjoy life, how it can be blessed, how it can be delightful, how it can be prosperous. Those are things that we desire, how to really be happy. Okay, so here the Bible says, tells us, don't listen to ungodliness. Instead, delight in God's word. And what's the result? Quickly, and we're finished. What's the result? The result, rather. Verse number 3. And he, that is the person who delights in God's word, rejects ungodly counsel, listens to God's word, obeys God's law, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So four things we see in verse number 3. Here's what the blessed man, here's what the man who delights in God's word, who loves it and lives it. He has provision, production, protection, and prosperity. Provision, production, protection, prosperity. Provision. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Just like a tree that gets all of its nutrients from water. A tree planted by the rivers of water will always, always, always have what it needs to grow, to be strong. Hey, your needs are provided as a person, as you listen to and obey, assimilate, love God's word. Hey, let me tell you, when you hear God's word preached, when you hear the Bible preached or you're reading God's word and you see things that go contrary to the way you are currently living, you're living a certain way and the Bible says, don't do it that way, do it this way, you will always be better off. Now listen to this, always be better off if you will change your ways to match the Bible's ways. It may not always match up with the current philosophy or psychology, but if the Bible says it, I will tell you, it is time-tested. It is always the best way. You will have all of your needs met as a person. Everything you need to get on the path of happiness, you are provided for when you delight in. When you come into a service thinking, I'm going to take what God has to say and I'm going to listen to it. So, provision, production, the Bible says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Production. And the idea here is that your life, The actions of your life will show. The actions of your life will be good. You will produce the fruit that God wants you to produce in your life. Your actions, your choices, your decisions will come about as a result of your following God's way, and it'll be good. It'll be good. Protection. His leaf also shall not wither. Just like the tree that has the water it needs, the sun may beat all it wants to. The rays will come down. But hey, look, it's golden. It has the water it needs. Since it's got the water it needs, it has protection against the sun rays. And I'll tell you, hey, listen to me. Hey, I'll tell you. Every day of your life, you will have temptation and trial. Satan will do everything that he can to pull down everything that God has to say. Satan always goes against God, and he will always try to pull down everything that you've heard. He will do it sometimes through tradition. He'll do it sometimes through philosophy. He'll do it through friends. He'll do it through temptation. I'm telling you, he'll try everything he can to get your mind off of following God, because Satan has no desire of your being happy, no desire of your being godly and being blessed. But I will tell you, when you dedicate your heart, your mind, when you set your heart, your mind, I'm going to follow God's word. I will do what God says, and I will love what he has to say. Then there is a natural, God-given protection against those things. Hey, you know, in preaching to teenagers, which I have the privilege of doing on a number of occasions, I'll tell young ladies, listen, if you'll determine in your life to follow God's way, you'll never have to worry about having a child out of wedlock. You're protected from that because you're living godly. You're following God's ways, and God will keep you from that. And that is the truth. There is a protection that comes for young ladies or young men. Guys, if you dedicate your heart, if you dedicate your life to following God's way of living in your life, you'll never have to be worried about being hooked on pornography. Because there's a natural protection that comes for a person who says, I follow God. I do what God says. I lean towards, I love, I delight in God's word. There's protection that comes from that. So provision, production, protection. And the Bible says prosperity. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Oh, good, Brother Tim. So now you're going to tell me that if I follow God's way, that all my bills will be paid. I'll have all kinds of money. I'll have the nicest car I've ever wanted. I'll have the biggest house I've ever had. And everything will go great, even in these times of economical distress. Everything will be wonderful. Is that what you're saying? No. You're missing the point. See, when God says your ways will prosper, remember what ways you desire. The mindset is, I follow God. I do what God wants, and I want the things that God wants. And so the Bible says that there is prosperity. You will be successful. Says who? The reason is because God knows the way of the righteous. So, what you're after is happiness. Don't think to yourself, I'll be happy when I get whatever, because that doesn't bring happiness. Happiness comes when you follow God's way. And God here says you will be prosperous in your life, which means you will have happiness. And you'll have happiness because God says, I'll see to it that you have happiness. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. I will see to it, God says, you will be blessed if you will follow my way. Now, one application, we're set. Well, actually, it's the same application we've been giving several times. Come to every service you can. Come with a heart that is open, ears that are ready to hear what the Bible has to say, and a mind that says, God, if you will help me, I will live as your word says that I ought to live. And God says, he'll make sure you're happy. May God help us to be that way. Lord, help us please in living Psalm number 1. May we honestly have a life that is blessed. The kind of blessedness, the kind of happiness that does not fade away, but continues on as we follow on to know you, as we follow your word. And God, I pray that this week would be a successful, a prosperous week for a number of people. A great number of people, because they delight and they love your word. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
And thank you, Evangelist Thompson. Let me mention two things that I appreciate so much about that introductory message. That introductory message gives us the purpose of two things. Number one, Psalm 1 is the whole basis, the whole foundation why we have two ministries out of our church called Valley Christian Preschool and Valley Christian Academy. We believe that blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We absolutely believe that Christian education is the foundation to achieve Psalm 1. So I appreciate the whole purpose of our two Christian institutions here, Christian education institutions, is Psalm 1. But let me tell you also, that is exactly the purpose of this conference, is so that you will be happy parents and that you can have that blessedness as you do this. Hey, I wasn't going to say this conference, but that message is just too perfect for me not to tell you this. Do you realize that this is costing Valley Christian Academy, Valley Christian Preschool, about $30,000 to do this conference? Because as you come and you sign your name on the back table, and don't forget to do that, you're getting $100 taken off your registration. There's about 300 families involved with the preschool or the academy. If every family comes, that's about $30,000. There's no cost to this conference. We're giving a special, we're doing something special with the Bill Rice Ranch from our church. We put rain in our budget. We are going to have the opportunity to give some love offerings to our evangelists. But there's no cost. There's no cost to you to this conference. You say, yeah, you know, Brother Schiller, I was kind of wondering about that. What is the deal? Why are you guys doing this? I mean, this has got to be costing your ministry. This has got to be upsetting your budget. And we'll tell you why. We want you to be happy parents. We want you to be happy in what you're doing, and we want to give you some instruction and help in doing that. And I really do mean it. Psalm 1 is the very reason why we're absorbing this cost, so that you all can get the instruction that you need. Tim, I thank you so much because you just laid out exactly the purpose of VCA and VCA Preschool. You just laid out the purpose of what we're trying to do these next 3 days in the family conference, and I sure appreciate that. Moms and dads, take this opportunity to receive the instruction. And in this Sunday school, as you say, well, we didn't learn a lot. But this is a commitment of message. Lord, I am committing that I'm going to do it your way. That my children will not be raised in the world, that we're going to do it the Bible way. And I guarantee you will be happy parents. Thank you so much, Tim, for that opening message. It kind of lays down the foundation to our entire week.